ELC Radio.
Love God. Lift others.
Welcome to Elevate Life Church. Now, sit back, relax, and enjoy another elevated message. Here's Senior Pastor Tina Lamone.
Over. Let's go to Psalms 95, verses 6 to 11. Pastor Sergio has been reading this scripture, and we're going to read it again. And I chose the Message version this morning, and it says, "So come, let us worship and bow before him. On your knees before God, who made us. Oh, yes, he is our God, and we are the people he pastures, the flock that he feeds. Drop everything and listen. Listen as he speaks. Don't turn a deaf ear as in the bitter uprising, as on the day of the wilderness test. When your ancestors turned and put me to the test, for 40 years they watched me at work among them, as over and over they tried my patience. And I was provoked. Oh, I was provoked. Can't they keep their minds on God for 5 minutes? Do they simply refuse to walk down my road? Exasperated, I exploded. They'll never get to where they're headed." Let that not be the story of your life, that you never get to where you're headed. The wilderness test, it says. The wilderness tests are our life's lessons. It's our day to day. We go through wilderness tests every day. There are several different tests that the Bible talks about that were in the wilderness that the people went through. There are several trials in life that we all have to go through, but our effectiveness in life depends on how we respond to those trials. James chapter 1, verse 2 through 4 says, "Consider it nothing but joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you fall into various trials." Those are the wilderness tests. "Be assured that the testing of your faith through experience," we have to experience the tests, "through experience produces endurance, leading to spiritual maturity and inner peace." Who desires spiritual maturity? And who desires inner peace? You have to go through the test. You have to endure the test. "And let endurance have its perfect result and do a thorough work so that you may be perfect and complete, developed in your faith, lacking nothing." We all need to mature as Christians. We all need to find the ability to endure in our lives. Without endurance, we will not find completeness, and we will always be in lack. We have to increase our capacity, our ability to deal with hard things in life. We have to grow. And if it's not hurting you, if it's not stretching you, if it's not challenging you, you're not growing. If you're not growing, you're staying the same. You don't stay the same for very long. You start to go back. You start to revert. You start to shrink back and go back to Egypt. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 says, "Take with me your share of hardship, passing through the difficulties which you are called to endure, like a good soldier of Christ Jesus." We all want to hear the beautiful message of the cross, and that God loves us, and that nothing can separate us from his love, and that we don't have to do anything but receive his love. But the truth is, to cross over to living in abundance, to being in your promised land and being able to taste the milk and honey, you have to endure hardness as a good soldier. You have to face trials and not run from them. You have to face trials and not have an attitude that you're facing a trial. You have to face trials and not complain, why am I here again? You have to face trials and not say, but I go to church on Sunday, but I'm a Christian, but I read my Bible, but I worship when it's time to worship. Why am I going through this? It doesn't work. You can't be that type of Christian to be able to cross over into the promised land. We have to endure hardness like a good soldier. No one wants to hear when you're going through a difficult season or situation that you are right where you are called to be. When we're in a stressful relationship or a stressful thing at our job or a project that's too hard to do or somebody's applying pressure on you, we don't want when we go to get comfort from someone, we don't want that someone to say, well, you know what? You're right where God wants you to be because God's using that to change you. You don't want to hear that. What do you want? What do you want? You want them, okay, let's pray. Let's pray that God will change that person so they'll be nice to you. Right? That feels much better than hearing you're exactly where you're supposed to be because God's changing you. God's challenging you. God's showing you that you need to learn to be patient and give grace to people. God's showing you that you need to not be so judgmental for those who are leading. God's showing you that you need to stop talking about people. God's showing you that you need to trust because you walk in fear too much. We can't be comfortable with all those things. We have to endure hardness like a good soldier. He wants you to allow him to give you what you need and teach you how to overcome every hard place. Every time we overcome a hard situation, we add another level to our lives. So every time we go through a trial, every time we go through a hard time, we take another step forward. We go up another level. We graduate a grade. We mature in our spirits. And we gain something and have more to give away to others. We can't give away what we don't have. The Bible says that we need to buy the truth and sell it not. We don't sell it, we give it away. But if we don't have the truth, if we haven't lived the truth, we have nothing to give away. David tells us, come and worship. Bow on your knees because he is our God and he made us. We belong to him. God does not belong to us. It's not magic where we go before God and we pray our will and he does it for us because he loves us. That's not the way it works. That's not the way it works. We belong to him. He doesn't belong to us. He chose us. He feeds us and he pastures us. It says he provides for our lives and he leads us. David says, drop everything and listen. Listen as he speaks because God is always speaking. God is always speaking. God is always speaking. He is never silent. I know there's times in life where we feel like God is being silent. But the word says, drop everything and listen because God is speaking. John 10, verse 27 through 29 says, my own sheep will hear my voice, and I know each one, and they will follow me. I give to them the gift of eternal life, and they will never be lost, and no one has the power to snatch them out of my hands. My Father, who has given them to me as his gift, is the mightiest of all, and no one has the power to snatch them from my Father's hands. He says, my sheep will hear my voice. If you are allowing God to be your shepherd and you are submitted to him as a sheep, you will hear his voice. Remember, we belong to him. He doesn't belong to us. So we want him to speak the way we want. That's not being his sheep. That's not being pastured by the shepherd. There's things that we have to do. We have to position ourselves from the inside. There's decisions that we have to make on the inside so that we can hear God's voice. It says, I know each one of them. God knows what you need. And I will give them the gift of eternal life. What we see in this scripture is, number one, no matter how difficult the circumstances that surround you are, no one can take you out of God's hands. No one. And there are times in life where we go through hard things. We experience difficulties in relationships or in our jobs or whatever the case may be. And we get afraid like, oh, I'm scared this is going to take me out of God's will. I'm scared this is going to mess me up. Take me off track. If you're his sheep and he's your shepherd, no one can take you out of God's hands. Hardness does not mean that you're out of God's will or not going where he wants you to go. It probably means you're exactly where you need to be, which is, I know, not what you want to hear. Number two, when you listen to God's voice, you will never be lost. So there's times in our life when we're facing decisions, we're facing difficult decisions, and we say, God, I can't hear your voice. I don't know what to do. I'm lost. He promises here, I give them the gift of eternal life, and they will never be lost. They will never be lost. So how do we have all these things? Because sometimes it doesn't feel like it. Sometimes it feels like we're lost. Sometimes it feels like we can't hear. God knows that you will make decisions that will affect your life in a negative way. He knows that you won't always consider him when you're challenged. He knows that you will choose to fill your life with your self-desires before his desires. He knows that most of you will wait until life and your decisions have brought you to an emotionally painful place before you really consider to drop everything and listen. Why is it? Why do we wait until we're at our wit's end before we drop everything and listen? Why does life have to get terrible? Why do we have to wait until desperation before we seek God and position ourselves as his sheep to hear his voice? Why? He says, drop everything. We need to drop our phones and social media, and we need to listen. We need to drop the remote control and turn off the TV, and we need to listen. We need to drop the gossip. We need to close our mouths. We need to get in a quiet room, and we need to listen. We need to drop the excuses and listen. We need to drop the blame and listen. We need to drop the emotional outbreaks. We need to drop the need to be heard and listen. We need to drop the busyness and the need to look busy, because some of y'all say, I'm too busy, but you just looking busy. You ain't doing nothing. Drop it and listen. That's funny, but it's the truth. And we get stuck and we say, I just don't have time. I'm so busy. You're not busy to spend 5 minutes on your cell phone looking to see what everybody posted or what so-and-so's wearing or who so-and-so's with today or if they're broken up or together. You got time to do that. You're not too busy. We need to drop the excuses. Maybe we need to drop a relationship that keeps us, that distracts us from what God is saying. Don't be deceived. God sees. God knows. We think that we're deceiving everyone. God knows. Drop it all and listen. To listen means to give one's attention to a sound. You're all listening to the sound of my voice. Listen to the sound of his voice because he is speaking. If you belong to God, you will hear his voice unless you're bitter. Unless you're bitter, angry, hurt, or resentful because of a bad experience that you've had or because you feel like you've been treated unjustly. That's where bitterness comes in. And when you hold on to bitterness, you will not be able to hear his voice. My sheep will hear my voice, he says. David tells us in verse 8, don't turn a deaf ear. Another translation says, don't harden your heart. To harden your heart means to decide that you're not going to listen. So you could harden your heart, and some of you have this morning in this room. You've hardened your heart because you've chose to look at your phone. You've chose to mess around with the person sitting next to you. You chose to think about what you're going to eat for lunch. You chose to close your eyes and take a little nap. You've hardened your heart to my voice. Don't harden your heart because it means that you've decided not to listen or to care, that you forced yourself out of God's presence. When you don't drop everything and listen to him daily, you harden your heart daily. Verse 10 says, can't they keep their minds on God for 5 minutes? So we're too busy, right? We're too busy to pray, but we got 5 minutes to be on our phones. And this scripture says, can't they keep their minds on God for 5 minutes? Can't they keep their minds on God for 5 minutes? 5 minutes. Do you realize what 5 minutes of putting your mind on God every day will do for your life? 5 minutes. Can you not keep your mind on God for 5 minutes? And it's simple, and I'm saying it over and over again, and it's not to make you feel dumb, but it's to get you to see the reality of the excuses that we make that keep us from seeking God's face and hearing His voice. As a Christian, as a disciple, you should never say that God is not speaking or that I can't hear God. That should never come out of your mouth, because God is always speaking. Do they simply refuse to walk down my road? Simply refuse to walk down God's road. That's what we do when we don't make time for Him. We are refusing to walk God's way. Are you refusing to give God 5 minutes of a soft heart to hear which way that He wants you to go because you only want to go your way? A lot of times we pray, we go, all right, I'm gonna pray because I have this hard thing going on in my life right now. Let me just pray so I can give this to God and I can trust God. And God, I thank you that this is going to work out for me and that my boss is going to give me that promotion, or this person is going to get out of the way so I can have that position, or my spouse is going to love me the way I need to be loved. That's your will. 5 minutes of a soft heart says, God, I trust you with my life. God, I thank you that I'm not going through this difficulty alone. God, show me how you want me to live. Speak to me about what I need to do so this situation changes. Not change the situation, but change me, God, so that I can handle the situation. That's the difference between a hard-hearted prayer and a soft-hearted prayer. We're praying for God's will, not our will. You know, when you pray for your will for other people's lives, you know that it's witchcraft. Do you know that? When you're praying your will for someone else's life, it is like witchcraft. You have to pray for God's will. God is always speaking. And it's very simple. He says, can you not think about me for 5 minutes? Because He knew in 2018... society would be so obsessed with their smartphones and YouTube videos that last for 5 minutes. That right there is for 2018. Could you not think about me for 5 minutes? Matthew 5:3 says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the poor in spirit. What is the blessing in being poor? Do you understand what that means? A poor person has to beg, knowing that you need to beg to eat. That's what a poor person does. And it says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. A beggar is someone who completely is helpless and hopeless and is not ashamed to ask. Blessed are the poor in spirit. So blessed are you who know to beg from the lack in your spirit. Not that we don't see ourselves as children of the King, but knowing that everything that we have and everything that we're doing is nothing without Him. That's someone who is poor in spirit. Blessed are you who know to beg from your spirit. Are you poor enough in your spirit to go to God and ask? To beg Him. Now, we don't have to go to God and when we pray and say, please, God, please. God, please do this. God, please be with me. No, because he says in his word to come boldly before the throne of grace. Boldly. So you can come and say, God, I thank you that you're working this out on my behalf. I thank you, God, that I am the head and not the tail. I thank you, God, that you're healing me, Father. I thank you, God, that you're using the doctors to bring deliverance to my life. We can do that boldly. We don't have to say, please, God, please give the doctor wisdom. We don't have to do that. Because he says bold. But where it means poor in the spirit and beg in the spirit means a beggar who doesn't have food is there every day on the corner. You see the same beggars on the corner every day. Sometimes they got clothes on and sometimes they don't. They don't care. They're there on the corner with their signs asking for money and asking for food. We need to be that way in our spirits every day. God, speak to me. God, I need you. Even though I messed up last night, God, I need you. Even though I feel worthless, God, I need you. Like a beggar in the street every day, we need to go before God every day. That's what the word talks about. Blessed is the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Your heart, when you ask, needs to be like the beggar, not asking out of the need for more, but knowing I am and have nothing without the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, you will not end up where God has predestined you to be. You will seek to go places and God won't be there. That is where we find ourselves saying, God, I can't hear you, because we're in a place where we're not supposed to be. We're in a place where God is not at for you. You can't hear because you're not being his sheep. Again, let's go back to Psalms 95, verse 10, and it says, for 40 years, I was disgusted with that generation. I said, they are a people whose hearts have gone astray. They do not know my ways. So I swore in my anger, they will never enter my rest. You cannot cross over into the promised land, into the kingdom of God, without a desperate need to hear God's voice. Drop everything and listen. Prayer is the only way to nourish the Spirit of God that is within you. Don't wait until you're at the end of yourself to invite God to speak to you. Don't be the self-sufficient Christian who doesn't need God. There are so many Christians walking on this earth that do not talk to God, that do not create time to be intimate with him. Don't be that self-sufficient Christian that doesn't need God. Drop everything and listen. Matthew 6:6 says, here's what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place so that you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there as simply and honestly as you can manage. The focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense his grace. The focus must shift from you to God to cross over. The focus must shift from you to God to cross over. It is impossible to live in the abundant life Jesus died for you to have without significant times of secret prayer. He says, I want you to find a quiet, secluded place, a quiet, secluded, secret time with him. Asking God your Father for material things is one of the most elementary kinds of prayer. We can ask God for things. I'm not saying don't ask for God things. Let me tell you, I ask God for a house every day. He doesn't mind that. But the most important kind of prayer is the prayer of being intimate and knowing and hearing God's voice. John 15, verse 7 says, but if you live in life in union with me, and if my words live powerfully within you, then you can ask whatever you desire, and it will be done. We pray and then say it doesn't work. David and I are telling you, hear us today, drop everything, and listen. Another translation of John 15:7 says it like this, but if you make yourselves at home with me, and my words are at home in you, you can be sure that whatever you ask will be listened to and acted upon. This is how my Father shows who he is. It's when you produce grapes, when you mature as my disciples. The only way to mature as a disciple is to make yourself at home with God. That's the only way to mature in your spirit, is making yourself at home with God, making 5 minutes of time where you focus on God. Say it with me. Drop everything and listen. Drop everything and listen. The problem is we want to dumb down the truth so we don't have to work as hard. We want to water down what Jesus says so it makes sense to our lazy minds and our lazy way of thinking. We have to drop everything and listen. Prayer is not a religious exercise. It is life to the ones who are crossing over. We have to see prayer the way Jesus did. It was his breath. It was more than the air that he breathed. It was of more value to him. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Pray constantly. Pray always. Say it with me again. Drop everything and listen. Prayer allows us to draw on the grace of God to face difficult times in the wilderness. We can't just say, oh, I'm pulling on God's grace, and you're not even praying or listening to what he's saying. So you're not pulling on grace. You're just saying that, and it doesn't mean anything to you. You know, God loves us so much that even when we don't spend time with him, even when we don't drop everything and listen, he's still there. He's still protecting you. He's still keeping you. You'll be okay. But will you live the life that he died for you to have? No. You will live an okay life. Maybe your kids will get saved. Maybe you'll own the house of your dreams. Maybe you'll see your son succeed, your daughter succeed. Maybe. But why not press into giving God 5 minutes of time where you just think just about him and drop everything and listen? Joshua told the Israelites to consecrate themselves. When you consecrate yourself, it is a decision to dedicate yourself to time with God. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 11 says, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually, longing to be in his presence. Do you long to be in God's presence? Do you wake up every morning and think, I got to be with God today. I need to talk to God today. I need to hear from God today. Do you long that? Do you long for that? We have to find that longing within inside of us. You have to earnestly seek to drop everything and listen. It's so easy to get distracted. I'll go in my room and I'll think, okay, I'm going to go in there and I'm going to pray for 15 minutes. And I sit down and I pick up my phone and I see a text message came in and I'm like, oh, they got new shoes. Let me click on that shoes. Oh, I like those. Let me see if they're on sale. And then I go to another web page and dang it, they're not on sale anymore. Well, man, maybe I can get the shirt that goes good with those shoes. And then I go to another thing. And then Diego comes in the room to check on me. You need anything, Mom? Yes. Can I have a glass of water? And then before you know it, 45 minutes have gone by, and I'm painting my nails. I'm like, dang it. I forgot. I came in here to pray. Oh, the bed's not made. I'm going to pray after I make the bed. Let me make the bed, and I start making the bed. And then I look down, and I think, shoot, I need to vacuum the floor. Let me vacuum the floor. And then I go to find the vacuum. Selena, come do the dishes. And then another hour, 2 hours have gone by. Oh, man, it's time to go work out. Okay, I'll pray after I go to the gym. I go work out. I'm on my way home. I get a text from my husband. Hey, babe, where you at? I'm on my way home. I got to go feed your mom. Before I know, the day is over. I'm exhausted. And I have not spent 5 minutes thinking about God. I have not longed. I'd like to tell you that I did long for him. If you asked me, I'd say, oh, yeah, I want to spend time with God today. Did I do it? No. Did I long for it? No. Because had I longed for it, I would have said, I'll be with you in a minute. Let me turn my phone off. God, 5 minutes with you is all I need. Just give me 5 minutes, God. I love you, God. That's what longing for him looks like. Shut everything out and listen. Earnestly is a sincere and an intense conviction. What do you have sincere conviction for? I can tell you a lot of things I have sincere convictions for. Shoes. I've been wanting these shoes for a long time, and I finally found them for the price that I was willing to pay. That was a serious conviction. You know why? Because every time I went to the store that sells shoes that I like to buy, I went through every single aisle, checked every row, even the sizes that were not mine, because maybe somebody put my size in the wrong place. That's a serious conviction, right? And even though I was at that same store 2 days ago, I'm now there again, I'm going to do the same thing because I want these shoes. I'm going to look through every aisle again until I find these shoes on sale because I'm convicted to buy these shoes. I have a serious conviction about that. You know what else I have a serious conviction for? Working out. I like to go to the gym. It relieves me from stress. It helps to relieve tension from my body. It's time for me by myself. No one knows me in that room. I can go in that room. I can work out. I'm convicted about that. You know why I know I'm convicted about that? Because I go 4 or 5 times a week. And that's 55 minutes that I leave my phone in the locker. I don't even take it with me out on the floor. I leave my phone in the locker. I close that thing. I go in that room and I close the door. I don't care who's texting me. I don't care who's calling me. I will talk to them 55 minutes. That's a conviction I have. What do you have sincere convictions about in your life that you are doing every single day? You are making sure those things happen every day. That's the way we need to be about spending time with God, about giving 5 minutes to think about him. It's time that we long for and go after time with God, so that we can go to the next level and cross over. We have not sacrificed. All we've sacrificed to build a church of people who do not spend time with God. We have to have a conviction about our time with God. Nothing is going to change. You will go through life. You will be okay. But you will not cross over until you make it a priority to have time with God. Nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. We have to understand that the words that we speak, when they are coming out of our mouth, change our lives. You've got to get out of your head that you can't pray for whatever reason it is that you think you shouldn't pray. Shame's got to go. A conviction. I'm willing to go down every single shoe aisle, even for a size 11, and I wear a size 7, just to see if somebody put a size 7 in the size 11. I'm willing to do that so that I can get these shoes. Am I willing to go in my room, in a secret place, close the door, shut everything out, turn off my phone, remove all distractions, and say, God, I want to be in your presence. God, I want to be intimate with you. God, I need you in my life. Okay, a thought comes up. Tina, you are so dumb. God saw how you just talked to how you just spoke to your kids. You think he wants to talk to you now? You need to repent. You're never going to change. Okay, let me go down aisle size 12. Let me see if anybody put a size 7 in size 12. I'm willing to do that. But as soon as that thought comes up, I'm not willing to go, no, God, I thank you that you forgive me for my mistakes. Instead, what I do is go, this does not feel good. I feel so ashamed. I'm not good enough. It doesn't work anyway. I never feel different after I pray. Just forget it. All right, God, I love you. Thank you for this day. I prayed, and I go on with my life. We have to have a conviction. And what that conviction looks and sounds like is, no, you are not rejected. You are not shame. You are not under. You are above. God, I will be in your presence, Father. I will hear your voice. Even though I feel like I don't deserve to be in your presence, God, your word says that you love me and that you want to spend time with me, that you sent your son to die for me, God. I thank you, God. I thank you that you love me, Father, that you're changing me and that you're using me, Lord. I thank you for your presence in my life, Father. Because I'll never know about the sacrifice that you made for me. But God, I will use my breath to worship you, to be in your presence. I will make time with you. I will put out all distractions. I will drop everything and I will listen to your voice, God. I thank you, Lord, that I am the head and not the tail. It doesn't have to be that you know scriptures and that you can quote them. But as you continue to spend time in God's presence, you will learn them and they will come out of you. And you won't even realize what's inside of you. But start with the 5 minutes of just thinking about God. Do what you have to do to get the shoes. Do what you got to do to hear his voice. Because he is speaking. And if you can't hear, it's not because he's whispering and not saying it clear. It's because you have to position yourself. It has to be a conviction in your life that you are going to be intimate with God. You will never cross over. You will never have abundant life if you don't make intimacy with God important. Do you hear what I'm saying? Do you hear what David said to drop everything and listen? Are you willing to drop everything and listen? I'm not up here saying it the way that I'm saying it because I always drop everything and listen. This is what God has been speaking to me about. You complain because you're so tired, because you're so overwhelmed, because you have so many things on your plate, but you're not even letting me help you do it. And I have to go, God, I'm so sorry. I am not being still. And knowing that you are my God. I'm trusting my ability to fix my problems more than I trust your presence. We see our family go through things. We see our friends go through things. And we want to change. We want to move on their behalf. We want to help them. We want to sacrifice our time so that we can be there for them, so that we can support them. But we haven't taken 5 minutes to pray for them. That shows that we trust in our ability more than we trust in what God can do for them. We have to trust God. The only way you build your trust in God is by being in his presence, by hearing his voice, by being convicted to make him first every day. And this is not a judgment. This is not a yoke on you, because there's days that go by, 5, 6, 7 days sometimes, and I haven't prayed. The scripture tells us that we need to be perfect like Jesus. You know what perfect means? You know what a perfect heart like Jesus' heart is? That when I mess up, I don't run from God. I'm not hiding it from God, but I go, God, I just let 7 days go by and I didn't have time with you. I need you now. Just like David, he was called a man after God's own heart. David made horrible mistakes. He made horrible choices in his life. Other lives were sacrificed because of the choices that David made, a man after God's own heart. You have to drop everything and listen.
I think that this is your way of telling me something.
Well, I hope you've been encouraged by the Word of God. And if you have, go ahead and subscribe to our podcast or download our free app at the App Store. And you can continue to get Word every week from Elevate Life Church.